Okay. Well, most of you know we've been restudying flyers that I've written over the years on different subjects and just reacquainting ourselves with the subject as well as tweaking them a little bit and making them available for discipleship purposes so you know what's available to hand out. I believe in literature. I believe in the written word. Because God does. Amen. God wrote a Bible. The book, the King James Bible, has been our theme all year. God believes in writing so much that he said to this guy in hell one time who wanted his brethren to be saved, he was pleading that somebody would rise from the dead, right? And go back and tell his five brethren that they didn't come to that place like that. But what did the Lord say? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them read them. It's enough. The testimony of the written word. And so God believes in the written word. Now, my writings aren't equal to his for sure. I'm just a human, so. But here's one tonight we restudy called Pride is Not a Virtue. It is a sin. And what I do with this flyer here is kind of what is brought out here in Romans chapter 7, verse 13. Notice it says this. Was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. I want you to notice a little phrase towards the end of that verse right there, that sin might become exceeding sinful. That sin might become exceeding sinful. That's kind of like the motivation for this flyer right here on pride, because most of us have been brought up in a country where we were taught pride was good. Pride was a virtue. Be proud of yourself. Stand up for yourself. Stick up for yourself. Look out for number one, me, myself, and I. And we were brought up to, you know, be proud of yourself. Be proud of your work. Be proud of your kids. Be proud of your grandkids. And pride, pride, pride. And we were taught it's a virtue. But one day as I began reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God, I noticed that over and over and over the Bible condemns pride and exalts humility. And I took a Strong's Concordance one time and I went through every time the word pride was found, every time the word proud was found, every time the word arrogant was found, every time the word haughty was found or any synonym or word similar to that, and straight through the Bible, cover to cover, which is condemned by the Lord. And also, it was illustrated as being extremely satanic. I believe the first sin ever was that of Lucifer himself, when it says his heart was lifted up because of his beauty. That was the first sin ever in all of history, was an angelic being named Lucifer, actually a cherubim, whose heart was lifted up. That's a synonym for pride. And we are never, ever closer to being satanic than we are when we are proud people. Now, I know some people think, well, those people over there that dress in black clothes and put black makeup around their eyes and go around, drinking blood from rabbits and something, those people are really satanic. No, they're just probably crazy. All right? The satanic person is the person who thinks about themselves, talks about themselves, exalts themselves above the Lord. That's what Satan's really like. And I don't know about you, but I've tried to be humble enough and honest enough to admit that I've had a big problem with pride, especially in my past. And so I wrote this flyer for the purpose of taking this sin and making it exceeding sinful. And I hope by the time we get done reading this tonight, it will be that way for you, that you'll say, man, that is an exceeding sinful sin, that sin of pride, and will lead us to repentance and the pursuit of humility. I keep pursuing humility. I don't know why. It just keeps getting away from me sometimes, though. But humility is such a superior life, that, as we'll see, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And we're going to see a bunch of things tonight, about a dozen things that pride does. I wrote this, I alliterated this sin. The whole purpose of this flyer, again, is to make sin look exceeding sinful. I hope when you leave the church tonight, you'll have a worse opinion on pride than you've ever had before. And instead of trying to be proud, that rather you'll try to be humble. I was talking to a young pastor. He's not really that young age-wise, about my age, but he's only been pastoring for a few years, and he confided in me. In the last couple weeks, he was talking to me, and he said, you know, he just wanted my prayers. He said, I just blew up at our church in a recent service, and I basically railed on them and wailed on them because of their self-centeredness. And he says, I'm just getting sick of it. The people in our church who just think about themselves, it's all about themselves. They're not thinking about others or the Lord or so on and so forth. And he said, I just railed on them and I just wailed on them, and I just feel terrible about it. And I hurt a lot of them and so on. And I said, brother, I said, what we need to do as pastors, parents, anybody, is instead of railing on people or wailing on people because of their self-centeredness, which is a product of pride, byproduct of our pride, just basically that's what pride is, just the constant state of just thinking about yourself, the constant state of talking about yourself, the constant state of thinking or talking about that which is yours, just you, your whole life is you. And yours. That's pride. Humility is the constant state of thinking about God and thinking about others. And there's a lot of pride. And I said, brother, we would be better off in our ministries. And I think this has really helped in our church a lot. I told this brother, I said, what we need to do is teach on these sins and take pride and lay it out for your people. And say, you know, if we choose a life of pride, these are the byproducts, these are the consequences of pride. And I said, when you do that and you get through it all, the thinking church member, the humble church member, the young church member, the babe in Christ even will say, man, I don't want anything to do with that. And that should be the only conclusion we come up with in about 30 minutes from now. As we go through these things on pride, is every one of us ought to leave the church tonight and say, man, if that's what pride is going to do to my life, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't care how American it is. You know, I don't care how cultural it is. I don't want anything to do with that sin. And I said, we would be better off as pastors, parents, teachers, if we would just instruct, okay, this is what the sin is, and this is the consequences for it, so that the person who comes to the church, I said to the pastor, rather than railing on them and wailing on them and having them leave and say, boy, I don't want to go back there again, they can make an educated decision about this that would lead them to repentance. And so this flyer is to educate us on just some of the horrible things that pride does. Now, as we get into the inside of the flyer now, I want you to notice here that I have listed 12, and there's more than 12, but I have done in this study what's called an alliteration, which means you simply take a particular letter. In this case, it's obvious as you read through the points, I use the letter D. And sometimes these are just ways of helping us understand truths better by alliterating. It's just a teaching technique is all it is. In fact, God alliterates. If you or I could read Hebrew, he often alliterates or alphabetizes a lot of your poems and the Psalms were be like saying in English, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I mean, if you could read Hebrew, you'd read a lot of Psalms where the first verse starts with an A, the second verse with a B, the third verse with a C, the fourth verse with a D, and so on and so forth. It's Hebrew, not English, but I'm just trying to illustrate. And I remember verses growing up, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Confess your faults one another, and A, B, C, D, depart from evil and do good. E, accept a man, be born again. You know, and we went right down through the alphabet. I can still remember those verses from when I was a kid because of that teaching technique. And so God has used alliteration and alphabetizing as tools for his own teaching the Hebrews in their psalm book, if we could read Hebrew. Anyways, I use the letter D. And as we read the verses tonight, you'll see where the D comes from in our 12, what we call here, despicable descriptions of this sin, with the hopes that we leave here tonight and say, man, that sin is exceeding sinful. We get all bent out of shape over things nowadays, don't we? Like homosexuality, right? And perversion and so on and so forth. Man, this is the worst right here. This is the worst right here. Pride is worse than all of them in God's eyes. In fact, when it comes to Sodom, what did the Lord say in Ezekiel 16:49? Said this was the sin of Sodom. What was it? Pride. It's the first thing he mentioned, pride. And then he went down, and the last thing he mentioned was, and they committed abomination in my sight. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hands of the poor or the needy. She committed abomination in my sight. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Pride. God started with their pride. This is a wicked sin. And we need to get the beam out of our own eyes before we go picking away at their eyes. And so, let's look into pride. Let's try to make it look bad tonight, because it is. And number one is pride is a despised sin. Pride is a despised sin. Where did we get that word from? Well, let's read Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. God is speaking here. And notice the words that I have emboldened on your notes. Pride do I hate. God hates. It is a despised sin. God despises. God hates the sin of pride. Number two, pride is a defiling sin. These are the words of Christ himself out of Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, again, I have it emboldened, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. That word defile means to corrupt or to rot. It corrupts a man or it rots a man. It defiles the man. What? Just the thought of pride is a defiling sin. That man is defiled. Number three, pride is a destructive sin. This is one of the most famous verses in the Bible on the subject. It says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. On the back of this flyer, I have a paragraph towards the top where it says, only God knows how many marriages, families, churches, businesses, and lives have been wrecked by pride. It is a destructive sin. It'll destroy your life. It'll destroy your church. It'll destroy your business. It'll destroy your country. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy a family. Pride is a destructive sin. Pride goeth before destruction. Number four, pride is a disputatious sin. Talking about disputes here, Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Whenever there is verbal contentions between people, physical contentions, violence, wars, it's all rooted back to pride. When Lucifer is described in Ezekiel 28, after his heart was lifted up with pride, the Bible says his inward being became filled with violence. He became filled with violence, and pride produces angry, violent people. Many times, I think I found four times in the Bible where it talks about proud wrath. Proud wrath. If you have an anger problem tonight, your anger is just a symptom of a deeper problem. And the deeper problem is pride. You deal with the pride, the anger will leave your being. Satan is an extremely angry. There's nobody angrier than Satan. He's come down to earth, the Bible says, in great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. He's full of anger. He's full of wrath. Why? Because he's full of pride. But the more and more humble a person becomes, the more and more at peace they become with themselves and with others. Pride triggers anger and wrath. And so if you have an anger problem, or if you know somebody who has an anger problem, quit trying the anger management nonsense. That's the symptom. That's putting Band-Aids on cancer. Get to the heart, where the solution is repentance from pride. Repentance from pride. Pride triggers anger and wrath and contentions. Number five, pride is a debilitating sin. When we think of debilitating, sometimes we think of alcohol and how it debilitates a man's mind from reasoning. Pride has the same effect. Notice in Daniel 5 and verse 20, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar. It says, but when his heart was lifted up, and his mind, what? Hardened in pride. He was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Notice how pride destroyed this man. But prior to his destruction, his mind was hardened in pride. This is why I often say proud people rarely improve. Proud people rarely improve. Why? Because their mind's hardened. You can't teach them anything. They know it all. Pride will harden a person's mind, and this guy went berserk. I really believe that much of the mental illness we see today, not all of it, but much of the mental illness that we see today is from people who just spend their whole lives thinking about themselves. What happens when we think about God all the time? Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusts in thee. That person has perfect peace. What about the person who just thinks about themselves all the time? Man, they have worries, fears, depressions, anger, jealousy. They can't enjoy anybody. Can't enjoy church because nobody pays attention to them, because life's all about me. They can never receive enough attention from their mate. They end up destroying. This guy went out in the field like an animal for 7 years. He ate grass. He lost his mind. When did he get his mind back? Anyone remember the story? When he humbled himself and began to exalt the Lord. When Nebuchadnezzar began to exalt the Lord, his mind came back and his kingdom came back and his reason came back. Pride's a horrible thing. So many mental problems today are caused by pride. Turn to the book of Obadiah. Obadiah chapter number 1. That'll take all night. I want you to notice in number 6, pride is a deceptive sin. If you notice Obadiah is hard to find, it's because it's the shortest book in the Old Testament. It's only one chapter long. It is a tough book to fine. If you get anywhere near Daniel, just keep going back from there. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Joel, Obadiah. But anyways, look at the first part of verse 3. And I actually want to add this verse to the flyer. It's actually a better proof text than the one I have under number 6. Pride is a deceptive sin, number 6. Pride is a deceptive sin, number 6. Notice Obadiah 1 and verse 3. Just for time's sake, we'll read the first part. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Now notice the verse that we have on the flyer, Galatians 6:3, is also a good one. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. It's a deceptive sin. Have you ever met any delusional people? I really think they're legends in their own minds. Legends in their own time, they are proud people. They're proud people. They're deceived people. There's a lot of delusional people these days walking around thinking they're cool, thinking there's something to buy. This is kind of a humbling verse, isn't it? Let me read it again. God knows how to humble us. If you say, how can I be humble? Just read the Bible and believe what it says about you. That's all. That'll do it. You don't need anything else. What does the Bible say? For if a man think himself to be something, what? When he is nothing. The Bible kind of humbles us. Just believe what it says. When he's nothing. He deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. Pride's a deceptive sin. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Obadiah 1 and verse 3. Number 7, it's a disrespected sin. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud. Psalm 40 and verse 4. It's a disrespected sin. Nobody really likes proud people. Have you ever noticed that? There's nothing attractive about a proud person. They're disrespected. Number 8, pride is a distancing sin. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Psalm 138 and verse 6. Turn to Isaiah 57. Isaiah chapter 57. That'll be easier. Isaiah is the biggest book of the Old Testament. It's actually bigger in verses than Psalms is. Psalms has more chapters, but Isaiah is the biggest book in the Old Testament. Notice that verse on your flyer there, Psalm 138 and verse 6, but the proud he knoweth afar off. God puts some distance between him. If I could use this expression, it's probably not a good one, but God doesn't hang around proud people. I know that's not a good expression to bring God down to our level, but I'm just trying to illustrate here. He doesn't hang around proud people. He gets away from them. The proud he knoweth afar off. But who does God get close to? Look at Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with who? With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Who does God hang around with? The contrite. That means the brokenhearted. The humble. I dwell with the humble ones, but the proud he knoweth afar off. If you want to be near God, or I should say, if you want God to be near you, then humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Pursue humility. Repent of pride, and every time it rears its ugly head in your heart, repent of it. And I have to do that constantly. Boy, it just seems like as soon as I think I've arrived, all of a sudden some more pride comes. And pursue humility. Think about God. Think about others. Think about people outside of your family. Be humble, and God dwells with those contrite people who are broken over their sin. And people who are humble. Number 9, pride is a disgusting sin. That's what the word abomination means in Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him, a proud look. That word abomination means a sin that is disgusting in the sight of God. And the first one listed of the 7 is a proud look. Just somebody goes around with a proud look, a smirk on their face. The Bible says that's disgusting to God. Our face is supposed to reflect the image of God. We are the glory and the image of God. Male and female made he him. Women are supposed to reflect the image of God. Men are supposed to reflect the image of God. And what was God's image when he came to earth? He humbled himself. Became a man. And we should reflect. When people look at us, they should say, boy, he's humble or she's humble. Another verse that goes along with this is Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Isn't it interesting that they call these parades pride parades? Where people by the hundreds or thousands walk around hand in hand. There's a verse for them. Though hand join with hand, he shall not be unpunished. It doesn't matter if you get thousands of people to hold your hands and agree with you that something's right. If it's wrong in God's eyes, you're going to be punished. And God will have the last word in every individual's life. We see these pride parades. It's just amazing how they actually call it gay pride. They always attach that word to their lifestyle. Just like the Sodomites in Ezekiel 16:49. You think they learn? Read the Bible. Though hand join in hand, it talks about the proud in heart, abomination, disgusting to God. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. They'll get there someday. And we ought not either to run with a multitude to do evil. Remember that? The Lord warned us about that in the law. Don't run with a multitude to do evil. Doesn't matter if everybody in America starts saying something's all right. If the Bible says it's wrong, you go stand alone. And say, if something's ever been wrong, it's always been wrong, and it's still wrong today. God's not getting used to the stuff we're getting used to. Not at all. We need to repent. Number 10, pride is a divisive sin. The word resist means to set embattlements against. It says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Resist means to oppose, as in the sense of a military conquest where you set embattlements against an enemy. You know, if we were opposed to Al-Qaeda, or if we were in World War II and we were setting battlements against the Japanese or against the Germans back then, that's what the word resisteth means. God resists the proud. I mean, it's time for God to battle, because pride is basically putting oneself above the Lord. And his name is jealous. Number 11, pride is a detrimental sin. It's a detriment. I believe that's implied in Psalm 36:11. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. The foot of pride refers to how it trips people. It becomes a detriment to their walk in life or to the race that they're running. It trips them. It makes them fall. Let not the foot of pride. And I don't know if you remember being a kid and you're running or something, someone sticks out their foot and trips. You remember we used to do that to each other as kids? At least I did. But I don't know what that is, just kid stuff. You know? But they never expected it, you know? And you laugh and stuff, and they're more resilient back then. It get them off the ground easier than we are as we get older. But that's what the Bible's implying here, that, you know, you can be going along, running your race, walking the walk God has you in humility, and then all of a sudden you have this one proud moment, and bam, down you go. Down you go, the foot of pride. It's detrimental. And then you just need to repent, get up, and get back marching. Number 12, finally, pride is a debasing sin. A man's pride shall bring him low. Now, anyone with half a mind tonight is going to look at these 12 and say, man, I need to get as far away from this sin as I can. Doesn't matter how American it is. I need to get away from it. And confess it to God and say, Lord, forgive me and help me to be humble. And you pray for me too. So in the King James Bible, the word pride is mentioned 46 times, proud 47 times, haughty 10 times. A meticulous study of each of these words in their context will lead to only one conclusion. Pride is never spoken of positively, only as a sin and evil. Never is it suggested or implied that pride is in any form a virtue. So that's why I got the title here. Pride is not a virtue, it is a sin. It is a sin. Now it's okay if you're, if God's blessing you, you got good kids, good grandkids, be thankful for them. But man, don't make little gods and idols out of them. Don't stroke their egos. If they're talented or athletic or intellectual or whatever, man, you've got problems. Because the devil's going to pick up on that and tempt them to be proud. If they're beautiful or handsome or whatever, you've got problems. And the only solution is to teach them to be humble and not proud about those things. Not proud about those things. Teach your kids, okay, good job. Okay, you're athletic, you're smart, you look good, or good job, but give God the glory. Give God the glory. Or don't make a big deal out of those things. Don't feed your kids' nature in a way it's going to end up destroying them. If they're talented or gifted or smarter than the average one, just be humble about it and warn them. Warn the beautiful girl and the handsome young man. You know, you're going to face more temptations in life than more people are, than plain people are. Satan did. He was perfect once, but he got looking at himself in the mirror or whatever and said, man, I am beautiful. I'm better than all these other plain angels. People ought to be worshiping me. I'm musical. I'm really gifted musically. I'm beautiful. I look nice. People ought to worship me, not God. And that was his end. If you know a lot of scripture, you better watch out. If you know a lot of Bible doctrine, you better watch out. If you've led a lot of souls to Christ, you better watch out. If you've had a lot of prayers answered, you better watch out. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is going to come up to tempt you and say, you know, you're really something. In fact, you're too good for this church. You're too good to hang around this bunch. And boy, pretty soon that foot of pride will come against you. The more you know, the more you learn, the more you accomplish, the greater, you know, the old saying, higher levels, higher devils. Better watch out. Better be humbled. People start appreciating you, petting you on the back, telling you what a wonderful job you're doing. You better let it run off your back like water off of a duck. Lee Roberson says there's two things you better not take very seriously. Number one, when people criticize you. And number two, when people praise you. Don't take either very seriously. Good advice. Many believers today have problems with this issue because they were raised on the doctrine of humanism. Humanism teaches that you are the most important person on earth. It teaches that pride in yourself is a good thing. But as we have seen, the Bible teaches it is a sin. And that's how I was brought up. I was brought up in humanism, public schools, all my life. It's all I knew. Boy, it's been a battle overcoming this. God expects believers to repent. That word literally means to change the way they think about things. This leads to a change in actions. Instead of being proud, the believer should be humble. We will never have revival in the church until we humble ourselves. It's required in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. Humble themselves. So on the back, we see national pride keeps people from praying fervently to God for their nations. Racial and cultural pride makes many people prejudiced towards other races and cultures. Parental pride keeps parents from seeing their children's faults. It also prevents parents from disciplining and correcting their children. Religious pride keeps people from humbling themselves before God and getting saved. It has been the catalyst to many wars. Self-pride keeps people self-centered and disables people from enjoying or helping anyone else. And it's the original sin of Satan. Jesus was the opposite. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, the death of the cross. Satan filled himself with pride. Christ filled himself with humility. Who will we be like? May God help us in our hearts to change towards this ugliest of sins. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. And Lord, we just pray that we would leave here refreshed, renewed in our knowledge of pride. Many have heard this before. Some, it's the first time. But that we would leave the church and say, you know, this sin is exceeding sinful. This is as ugly as it gets. And this sin of pride is the father of all other sins, stubbornness, rebellion, everything else. It is rooted in our pride against God, against your laws, against your word. Oh, how it's destroying our world right before our eyes, our country. Oh, how many marriages it's wrecked, and families, and individuals, and nations, and workplaces, and neighborhoods. And yet, Lord, humility can be a beautiful life. And it has the opposite effect. Help us to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift us up to follow Christ's example and not Satan's. For Christ humbled himself. He who should have been worshipped, should have been exalted, humbled himself to the point of dying on a cross because he thought so much about others and not himself. Lord Jesus, give us grace to be like thee, we pray in your precious name. Amen.